everyone. Welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? The podcast dedicated to me looking at what happens when my jokes don't work. Because sometimes my jokes don't work. And what I learn from the failure as well as what I can show you guys. Because everyone doesn't get to go on stage, but I do. So you don't have to. I basically do it so you don't have to. And you can live vicariously through me. And it's fun. This week, I want to play you guys a couple clips. I'm having a blast in Saranac Lake in our new house. And last night, I'm a little hungover. My brother and my wife and I, after Walter went to sleep, we had a fire and drank like 10 beers. And my brother, who's an arborist, he's a tree guy, busted out a leaf blower to like really jack up the fire. So we just blast air into the fire. And it makes the fire insane. We call it the Mexican blowjob because Mexicans use a lot of leaf blowers. Which brings me to my next point, and this is a clip I'm going to play. You guys, for the fans of the show, you guys know that I complain a lot about political correctness and stuff, and I know it can probably be tedious, and I don't want to keep hitting the same bell, but I had a breakthrough. I did a joke, nothing that out of the ordinary. People clammed up a little when I brought up race, even in a benign way, and I scolded them for it. You know, we've been down these roads together. Someone after tweeted me to check out this guy, this philosopher from Croatia. And you'll see why the Croatian triggered this guy to send me this. And it opened up my whole mind to why I hate it so much. Because of the real evil of it and what it does and what it makes us do and how it kind of enslaves us. And how growing up I rebelled against the things that I thought were bad, which was the Catholic Church abusing kids. I would always call them out on that shit, even as a kid. Bullies, actual bullies, not the modern, you didn't like my Instagram bully. I'm talking about kids that would just beat you with like bats and shit. Like I always knew they were assholes. People that sexually assaulted women, you know, I would call them out. Before it was popular, you know, that's just in my DNA. I think I might be a little on the spectrum when it comes to that type of thing. So check out this clip.
I always liked Coldplay, and judging by all the frosty white faces in this Bellevue crowd, there's some other Coldplay fans out there. By the way, when I say stuff like that, don't feel guilty. You feel that in the room? Out there, it was like, yeah, we're white. Don't say anything. You're fine. Did Huffington Post say we're okay today? It's like, you're fine. Me and my buddy had a... One of my buddies, his black dude, was like, yeah, but you don't know what it's like to be black. I go, you don't know what it's like not to know what it's like to be black. It's terrifying. We don't know what to say ever. He just started laughing. And white people are like, don't say that. I'm like, the black guy's laughing. They're like, it's not his fault. It's like, you're a fucking psycho. All right, so anyway, it's like, if you can't make fun of your differences, you're fucked. Yeah, if you can't make fun of differences, get canned goods, because war is coming. I learned that from my buddy from Yugoslavia. All right, so anyway, Coldplay came out with a song called Yellow.
Okay, that was key that I said Yugoslavia. Because afterwards someone tweeted me this dude named Zizek. He's a philosopher. Slojav Zizek. Because he's Croatian. And I started YouTubing this guy like crazy. He said the same thing. He was talking about how when Croatians and Serbs and people from all those little countries inside Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia was a forced country. It was made by the British, I believe. They used to make fun of each other, a lot of racial stuff. And that always kind of lessened the anger. And then as soon as they stopped making fun of each other, war came. And so this dude thought I would find this interesting. So I went down this rabbit hole. Check out some of these clips. They're only a few minutes long. You can fast forward if you want, but if you're interested in rhetoric and just interesting ideas, listen to what this silly son of a bitch is talking about here.
Hello and welcome to Worlds Apart. Making the world a better place has become the rallying cry for many, from housewives to presidents. But in our obsession to create a new reality, aren't we losing sight of the one that we have? Well, to discuss that, I'm now joined by a philosopher, psychoanalyst, and one of the world's leading intellectuals, Slavoj Žižek. Mr. Žižek, it's so great to have you on the show. Thank you for this opportunity.
It's a great pleasure.
I would actually like to start with love. I know that in many of your public speeches, you lament the fact that people have stopped falling in love. That...
By the way, how funny is his lisp? He's like, it's a seriously great pleasure. He's like one of the smartest dudes in the world with like a flaming lisp.
I know that in many of your public speeches, you lament the fact that people have stopped falling in love, that love is becoming more rational and devoid of the intensity of human emotion. But I think quite the opposite thing is happening with hatred, because not only hatred is becoming more intense, but all the traditional safeguards like political correctness, education, no longer seem to be able to contain it. And I would like to ask you, how would you explain that?
I think my basic answer is a very simple one, that precisely these protective measures that you mentioned, politically correct rules and so on, they don't work. They, in a way, ossify, fix hate. Hate remains there. You have just to look when somebody with politically correct attitudes attacks you. It's not. I'm not just making the primitive point that his very attack on you displays hatred, but how precisely the politically correct rules just enable you to oppress, to render invisible your hatred, but it's still there, transfixed. I think that again, to break the ice, in the sense of break this cold distance where we are brutally identifying the other with some racist clichés and so on. There is no direct way. We cannot, let's say we are of different races and each of us will say, oh, I know you are the victim of certain clichés. I think that what absolutely doesn't work, that would be my first paradox, is to say, let's drop the clichés and open up to the other the way he or she really is. Well, what if the opposite hold, that maybe the way to break the ice is to ironically play with clichés themselves. When I talk with people from other nations, what we enjoy so much is to, in a mocking way, adopt the racist cliché and make fun of it.
Well, I think so. Sometimes I get a feeling that in the modern day geopolitics, we are taking this play with the clichés perhaps too far. And what I mean by that is that in the current geopolitical discourse, it is more and more framed in these Manichaean terms. I mean, it is as if everybody is reading, Lord of the Rings, and here's the good side, here's the bad side. And that's a very natural thing for humans to do, but at the same time, it's very primitive. I mean, it cuts your ability for analysis and self-reflection. And I would like to ask you the question, whether you believe that's, just an oversimplification that is inherent in our cognitive ability, or do you believe that it is serving a specific agenda, to divide the world into good and bad sides?
Yes, I totally agree with you, but I would just complicate it on one point. Isn't it the paradox that precisely those who claim, like in the so-called permissive West, life is complex, it's fashionable to say today that we are against binary logic and so on, at a higher level, they treat others precisely according to this binary law. Like, we are complex, open, others are simplified.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I've been trying to put into words for so long. Like, you'll hear people on the good side, quote unquote. That's why I hate these people. It's like, we're good, you're bad. If you like Trump, you're bad. We're good. It's insane. Like, there is no good or bad. It's like... And it's all from power. It's all power. This is amazing. He's talking in front of Harvard. This is only 1 minute. Just please listen to this. He just shoves it because he's a legend, this guy. And so he's speaking to Harvard, right? This is the heart of darkness, Yale. These places are like where this shit comes from. Listen to this fuck you he gives the crowd.
Precisely because you...
Not out of anger, by the way. Like, fuck yous out of anger are meaningless. It's actually a way of showing that you're weak. This dude is just telling them things. And just listen to the uncomfort in the room.
Precisely because universities are being more and more turned into factories to produce experts, It's places like your place here, which are still part of intellectual life, but it's public sphere with a distance, outside official academic machinery, where, if I may put it in this Hegelian idealist way, the world spirit is still alive in places like this. Because, you know, I'm again old enough to remember when I was young, leftists usually like to say this, oh, you intellectual students, you live in your ivory tower while real people are suffering out there, blah, blah. But then I was quite shocked when some 2-3 years ago, I heard Bill Gates saying exactly the same thing. You know, I claim that today, this rhetoric of real people are suffering against ivory tower, I claim it's one of the most efficient rhetorical devices of those in power.
Boom. Whoops. I'm sorry, did he just fuck your whole world up? That's how you... Okay, I one of the reasons I left Hollywood is I wanted to be closer to family, and I started feeling like I was going crazy. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I felt like people were going batshit crazy. You know, it was very binary. What this dude's talking about, it's like there's good, there's bad. You know, I'm doing this charity. We're going to do a charity walk outside for skin cancer. You know, I do a joke about it, but that's a true story. When I'm like, outside? That's where you get skin cancer. And they're like, how dare you? Don't wear a sombrero. And it's like, that was supposed to be the artist community, LA. It's like, and there still is a ton. I'm not knocking so many people there, unbelievably cool people and brilliant. But entertainment is one of America's biggest exports. I mean, that is a powerhouse now. It's a machine. So wherever power comes this hypocrisy. And just like what he was talking about, Bill Gates saying that, like these titans of industry, they want people to buy shit. And the best way to do that is a spiritual deficit, to make people feel like they need more. And I think that's why quote unquote rednecks and white trash and hillbillies and, you know, all the this group of people are so vilified in America. Can you imagine if we said black trash instead of black people, black trash? You say blacks, you get fired. People say white trash on NBC primetime, white trash, black trash. Imagine black trash. And I think it's because now that I'm working with my brother dropping trees, because I'm writing a book, and I'm going to play a clip. I had a breakthrough for the book. I noticed something about the culture here. They don't buy shit. Like, I bought a $20 fire grill off Amazon last night, and I was telling my brother at the fire, and he was like, why'd you buy that? I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, we can make one of those. It's just metal. And it just something clicked in my head. I'm like, that's why these people are depicted as racist, bigot, you know, inbred, ignorant. They are not ignorant. They're not inbred and they're not racist. Some are, but some of the biggest racists I've ever met are left-wing political Hollywood people in fucking limousines. You ever hear all these people talk when they're like, we need to give them a scholarship because otherwise black people just end up in the gutter? That is so racist to say. It's a full circle. It goes all the way back to saying that because you're black, these people assume you're going to end up in the gutter unless the pure white people help you. That's fucking crazy. So I'm passionate about this, and I will keep ringing this bell because I think that it's a manipulation and it's power in its worst way. And I think that a lot of people are missing out on the wonders and beauty of life because they're wrapped up in this, you're fighting another person's war, you know? And this guy went on further to talk about how we, as a culture, will look at religious fundamentalism in Afghanistan and just call them idiots. And he's like, he's like, I have no love for ISIS. I hope we beat the shit out of ISIS. You know, he's not like a sympathizer, but he's like, every culture has their taboos. He's like, depicting Muhammad, everybody's like, oh, they're these cave-dwelling primitive idiots. And it's like, think about the cultural taboos you have. If you say only 3 million Jews died in the Holocaust versus 6 million, you'll get fired. And he's not even saying that that's true. It's not. I mean, it's almost certainly 6 million. But like, if you just speculate the number, you're fired. He goes, if you make a rape joke, a joke about raping, and he lisps, that fucking lisp makes him get away with shit, I think. And but he goes, if you make a joke about a woman being raped, that's taboo. He goes, just acknowledge that everyone has their taboos. Like, you're not different. Like, we all are going through the same processes. And I pity people that are so wrapped up in their own worldview that they can't see their own shit. Because right now, there's people listening to this that think, well, that is because rape women joking is wrong. It's like, that's how they feel about Muhammad being depicted in cartoons. And it takes almost a slight amount of detachment to see it. Like, emotions just make, they just cloud the shit out of people. As a comedian, I see it getting worse and worse. And ironically, it's because America's wealth is growing. It is. There's more power here. There's more wealth here than ever. And people are being sold this line of shit that, like, this is the scariest time ever. And it's like the worst time ever. And the reason it's so scary and bad, ironically, is because we're given so much information now. Anyway, before I tackle that, I'm going to play something nice. So right before I did a joke, I just was like talking. I said this about Amy.
It's important. You know, everybody fights. Every couple fights. You go through some shit. And it's good to stick it out. Everything good that came from my life now, like, my wife is everything, you know, and we could have broken up a million times. I figured out the moment when I realized I could get through problems is when we watched Snap together on the Oxygen Channel.
I'm not going to play for you guys the Snapped joke. If you're a fan of mine, you probably heard it at nauseam or ad nauseam. Is it at or ad? I don't know. That what I said there wasn't a joke. It was just me talking. And that's when I figured out what the book should be about. I know kind of what it's about, but it's about the ability of getting through fights. And the title is going to be You're Funny When You're Mad. And the book is going to be about how to make conflict funny. And I want people to be happy. I want genders, races, social classes, financial classes, all left-handed people, right-handed people. I don't want everyone to be the same because they're not. And that's ridiculous to say to someone, to force them to fit into your Starbucks Banana Republic bullshit fucking fantasy land. I want people to just look at each other honestly, you know, and think, like, just because this dude has a rebel flag doesn't mean he says nigger. Maybe that's his culture. Maybe he doesn't know that that's associated with that. Imagine the U.S. flag flown in front of an Iroquois or an Algonquin Indian. I mean, that flag represented destruction of their culture. Every flag fucked somebody. You know what I'm saying? And I don't personally like the rebel flag. I don't think it should be in government buildings. I think it gives a horrible message. I think it's a secretive way that people can kind of say that they're a little on a crazy side of the tracks. But I also know people that fly the rebel flag as a fuck you to the American government. They just basically are calling themselves rebels and has nothing to do with racism. I think that this racism button has been hit to death and people are just suffocated by it. They're so suffocated by it that Donald Trump almost became president. He has no shot, by the way. I mean, if he does, I will take everybody listening out for ice cream. There's just, he's never had a shot. But anyway, I'm not going to go on and on today. I'm going to try and keep these podcasts a little shorter, a little sweeter. And I'm going to announce some dates. I have, we're doing that fundraiser for the families of fallen police officers on Friday, but that's sold out in Saranac Lake because the community's badass. And then end of August, I'm doing Silicon Valley area up in San Fran. So hit my website, hugepianist.com. First weekend in September, I'm doing Syracuse Funny Bone. Second weekend, I'm doing Dallas Hyenas. Third weekend, I'm doing Orlando. Fourth weekend, I'm doing, I think, Plano, Texas. And then first weekend of October, Cleveland. And then I'll chill for a bit back home. I just got to make that money to pay for all that shit. Yeah, life is better when it's cheaper. I'm telling you that right now. When humans are your currency, the best thing about Saranac Lake is I'm doing tree work with my brother. We just laugh all day long. So we came up with this. God, I got to find it. Where is it? It's so worth it with intro. Because the beauty of Saranac Lake is it's almost like this utopia. And my brother told me not to tell you guys this because people don't want a ton of people moving here because it's so great. And it's like kind of great because there's not a ton of people. Like, there's no social class. It's like as a laborer, like I drag brush all day. I split wood. You know, my brother climbs the trees. He cuts it down. I drag it. You know, we chop it up. He gives me $100, $150. We go to the bar, get some beers, meet up with Amy in the backyard. It's incredible. And the best part is you can be like, we cut the trees at this chemist's house, became friends with them. They invite us over for dinner. You know, like this place is gorgeous. There's no separation between laborers and the plantation owners is what I'm trying to say. Basically, it's what skills do you bring? And that's it. It's like, can you help me cut down trees? Because I have food. Can you help me? You know, we're doing the trees for like CEOs and shit. That their houses are worth like $20 million. And then we'll do trees for a daycare center for free just to help out. Because everyone loves my brother around here. And it's magic. I'm telling you, it's magic. When people look at you not from what they can get from you or how much you can make them, but can you help out? And can they help out? And, you know, my brother calls it caveman cable. It's babies, faces, and fires. You just stare at the shit. And it's great. And I think that there's powers that be that don't want you to know that. They literally want you to think that you are complete by a Hyundai, and then you need to get the better one, and then maybe one day you can afford the brand new Acura, and then, you know, but you'll never get that Audi. And then I drove an Audi for the last 4 years. I just fucking, when I left LA, I just left it there. You know, I'm like, done with this. Now I drive a 2003 Acura, way more comfortable. I don't give a shit. And it's freeing. And it's like, people do look at you like, they're like, were you failing in LA? I'm like, no. They're like, then why'd you move here? I'm like, why wouldn't I move here? And then they like have this light, they light up and they're like, so this place has something to offer. And then they all kind of know it. It's really fucking interesting. So anyway, I'm going to play you guys a little sneak peek. It's not even a sneak peek. I'm going to play you the whole fucking episode. It's only 9 minutes. My brother and I are going to do a podcast called Case Closed, or potentially Case Closed, Beers Open, depending on copyright infringement on titles of podcasts. And everybody in this is our buddies. And we just kind of set up these mysteries and then you'll see. It's not up on Apple, iTunes or anything yet. But when it is, I really, really would appreciate if you guys subscribe to it and spread it around. Same with this one. Subscribe, comment, rate it. The comments you guys leave me are really heartwarming and it's awesome. And it just makes people trust to listen. Because my buddy, I told you last week about my buddy Mike at Sword and Scale, was telling me that, you know, the podcast can be a little personal and it's kind of tough for people to break into it because I do kind of just talk and don't have a structure. That's why those reviews are helpful, so people can trust it. And I do. If I see, like, Malcolm Gladwell's podcast is my favorite podcast right now. It has thousands of reviews that are like, this kicks ass. And so that makes people be like, oh, I'll check it out. Like, I like Chelsea Handler, and I turned on Netflix, and I looked at her show, and it only had 2 out of 5 stars. And I was like, eh. And I like her. I've done her show before, like 3 times. It's a great chick. But I can't do 2 stars. Because I trust the democracy of that shit. I believe people. Oh, great documentary. Check out Wiener. Fucking awesome. About Anthony Wiener. He went to my SUNY Plattsburgh. That's where I went to school. Really good shit. So subscribe. Always write to me. whydidn'ttheylaugh@gmail.com. I will write back to you. It may take me a month. I set up a day and I just start writing back. Because some of them, I'm not saying this to be like, I'm not lying. I do get jammed up sometimes. Like I'll read them like in the middle of the day and people just open up to me. And it's like in a way of connecting that's incredible. And I just don't really know what to say. So I just read it and I'm like, wow. But I know it's a dick move to not write back, so I'll always write back, and I'll always read the shit. Hit me on Twitter, @OwenBenjamin. Facebook, facebook.com/OwenBenjaminComedy. I might bail on Snapchat, because I think that they're logging our facial contours. I think there's something sinister going on with those filters. I don't know. It's fun, but something doesn't smell right. Something doesn't smell right. All right, so here is an episode of Case Closed just to get you excited. We're almost done with our third episode already. These move. They move quick, and they're fun as shit to make. So enjoy, and I love you. Thanks for tuning in. You guys are awesome.
Hey, is that donut thing still legit if you don't tell us about the survey and give us the receipt?
Eyes are glossy from their shiny minds.
Boom! Boom!
No!
Donuts!
Donuts!
You call them when cops just don't have the time.
All I seen was the ass end of a deer as it passed the car.
They hear your worry, your story, your fear.
Now I feel bad. Like, I am interested in what he says. He seems like a cool guy.
Yeah.
And best of all, you pay them with beer. No guarantees how things will go.
But you didn't close the case.
But these brothers will get the case closed.
Case closed.
Beer's open.
I have a case for you, boys. And I think it's bees. I think I have a beehive under my bed, in the box spring, in the wall somewhere. I can't quite figure it out. Every night I go to bed, kiss the wife goodnight. A few minutes later, the buzzing starts. But I never bring it to point. I don't want her to make her feel self-conscious. But when the bees start to become active at night, she worms and squirms and moans and groans from fear. I think we need a bee catcher.
Case closed.
Beer's open.
The second interesting thing, and maybe while you're here you could look into it, I have a TV remote. Batteries are constantly missing. I don't know if it has a bad latch. Batteries are rolling around under the bed. I don't want to go under there, get stung by bees, but I'm missing a bunch of batteries. Maybe you guys could come over, wrangle up some bees, and help me out with this TV remote issue. Tons of beers for you guys.
I know a guy that has a bear. So if we get your bear guy, we can bring the bear guy over to this dude's house and he'll kill all the bees. But what do we do about the batteries?
The batteries? Well, first we'll get the bees.
With the bear.
And then we'll get the batteries.
So we got to warn his wife that we're going to have a bear.
Yeah, no, this guy's got a bear. It's been declawed.
So if it's a declawed bear, how's it going to get the bees?
It's blind. It's going to eat them. I think it's a bee-eating bear.
I think the way to get the bees out is we fill his front yard with flowers. And we have the bees all come out and put their stingers in the flowers.
It's a great idea.
Or we wear bee outfits and let them sting us, because when they sting you, they die. They kill themselves.
But they can't sting us if we wear the suits. We need someone to get stung. Bees can make you die. Bees will kill you. We should stab the bear with an EpiPen to scare the bees out.
It's going to be a pretty jacked up bear.
It's a small bear. It's blind with no claws. We just need the bees to get out.
Yeah.
With wildflowers. We'll go to Holland. Right now it's a tulip festival in Holland.
So somehow we get tulips.
We'll get some tulips from Holland and we'll plant them, and we'll put them in the front yard.
And then we'll get the blind declawed bear to scare the bees out into the front yard.
We'll stab it with an EpiPen.
The bear?
The bear. I have an EpiPen guy.
Let's get some EpiPen.
He's 14.
Before trying to procure tulips, we did a little research about them on YouTube. How to tempt bees with a field of tulips.
The purple and white tulip from Turkey was all the rage. Demand for the tulip was hard to keep up with, and the price went through the roof. In 1635, one tulip bulb was sold for 6,000 guilders, the price of a mansion on the Amsterdam canals.
Whoa, that's crazy. We can't afford tulips.
It went well until 1637. The price of tulip bulbs suddenly dropped, just after hitting its ceiling. People suddenly realized you could grow tulip bulbs yourself. The bubble burst. The price plummeted to a fraction of the record price. The traders and speculators who still had tulip bulbs in stock couldn't sell them anymore at the high price they paid for them. They had to accept monumental losses.
Even though bees were our enemy, we couldn't expose them to this tulip bubble. It would mean economic collapse to the bee population. So we called Brothers Bear Guy.
Guys,
You can use my bear again.
The bear's been through a lot. He's super scared of loud noises.
Okay.
Yeah, he's blind.
Yes.
He's gentle, but he likes going on car rides. So please, no yelling.
With Joel buckled in and happy, we headed back to the detective agency to wait for Eric the handyman's call. Next time the bees came out, we'd be ready. Joel is an awesome name for a bear.
Case closed.
Beer's open.
Hello? Hello? Detectives? This is the guy with the bee problem? I need your help right away. My wife, she's on the couch, hiding under a blanket. She is writhing in fear. There's an incessant buzzing. I think they've moved from the bed to the couch cushions. I need you to come right away. Please. My wife, she's moaning in agony. The garage door opener won't work. I can't. The batteries are missing. I can't find these batteries. So, I don't know. Use a window. Punch down the door. Whatever it is you need to do. But please, my wife, she is in terror. Help me, please, with these bees. Bring batteries. There's beer in the fridge. Thank you.
Lucky for us, we already had a beekeeper outfit from a previous case involving a skateboard and two Doberman pinchers. We suited up, buckled in Joel, and headed out to close this case. We were dying to open our beers.
Joel looks super comfy right now. Dude, the wind is giving him a boner.
Joel sticks his head out the window like a dog.
Joel's got a wind boner.
Should we just break the window? I mean, he said to just break in.
Break the window.
Should we also kick down the door?
And yeah, the door and window.
We can have Joel break through the door. He's a bear.
Yeah.
I should announce that we're here first.
No, that's how we announce it. I knock on the door, and then on the third knock it down.
A bear? Eric, help, there's a bear in our house.
He won't hurt you, ma'am. He has no claws and he's blind.
Ma'am, do not move. The bear is friendly.
He's a kind bear, ma'am.
He's trained to get rid of bees.
He's a struggle bear.
Just put some clothes on, slowly.
Get out of my house.
And let the bear do his job.
Call 911. We're being attacked by beekeepers.
Stop yelling.
I think it's the Benjamin Brothers. Why are you idiots dressed like beekeepers?
It's not the Benjamin Brothers at all.
You idiots. I know it's you.
Everybody stop yelling.
Just step away from the bees.
You're both like 7 feet tall, and I know for a fact you have beekeeper outfits. Get out of my
house.
You
have bees under those blankets.
There are no bees. It's a vibrator. How fucking dumb are you people? And don't steal our beer.
It would only be stealing if we didn't close the case. Turns out it wasn't bees at all. It was a vibrator. Let's do a couple shots so we can earn these beers.
My head's not on straight right now.
Case closed.
Case closed.
Beer's open.
Guys, what happened? Did someone yell? Joel is in a shell, okay? Now I'm gonna have to drive him around the block all night. Thank you very much.
Case closed.
Beer's open.
Did you guys steal my EpiPen? I kind of need that because there's like nuts everywhere. I'm not gonna be mad, just bring it back, okay? I'm pretty sure taking it is a felony, so let's get that squared away. And I have beer.
Case closed.
Beer's open.
Oh, yeah, another thing, okay? I'm pretty sure you guys stole all the batteries out of my remotes and smoke detectors. Now it won't stop beeping. Oh, and you know who else won't stop beeping in his head? Joel. Joel's beside himself.